Advent is a season of possibility, a season of new beginnings. It's a reminder to each one of us that God is more interested in our future than our past. God is more interested in who we are becoming than who we used to be. It is a season of new possibilities. What is it that God has in store for each one of us this season? On the stage this morning, we discover John the Baptist striding firmly across it. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John brings us a word that we are meant to prepare during this season of Advent. Prepare for what lies ahead. So in this season of possibility and preparedness, it got me thinking about words to use for the Advent season. Since we started with two P words, possibility and preparedness, I tried to stay with the P's. And I've got some for you, but I'll bet you can make up some own of your own words. My theory about preaching is that you hear words from this place, from people like me. But actually, what you're doing is you're preaching your own sermon in your own hearts. So what would be the P words that you come up with on this second Sunday of Advent as you prepare for the possibilities in your future? The words I think about right now are the person, the place, the practice, and participation. The person of John the Baptist. What a strange man. He wore strange clothes. He came out of nowhere. And he had a really, really hard message. One of the things that fascinates me is that people responded to him. Even some of the establishment that he was confronting, Pharisees and Sadducees, some of them came out too to hear his word of calling for repentance and being baptized in a baptism of repentance. The messengers of our lives, who are the messengers this Advent for us in our lives? The point is that none of us got here by ourselves. We got here because somebody loved us into shape, or we knew somebody for whom Christian faith was important, or our mothers and fathers brought us up in the life of the church. The messengers, the people who've made a difference in our lives that have brought us to this point of new beginnings. Who are those people? Perhaps they're stern people like John the Baptist, but more likely they're people who are softer, gentler, people who care deeply about us, brought compassion and love and blessing to each one of us. There are messengers in each one of our lives. And we also then, in turn, become messengers in the lives of others by the way we live, the way we reach out, the relationships we build, the way we express compassion and blessing in the lives of other people. So who are those messengers? One of the important things about John the Baptist was, while he was very stern, the message was not about him. Because he declared that there's one coming after me who's mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So with this stern message, on the one hand, there's a deep sense of humility, of being an instrument of the Spirit and passing it on, looking beyond himself for the one who is to come, who will bring a deeper and more significant word of God's love and presence and peace. And that's another aspect for us as messengers. We receive the message, and then we must pass it on. We're conduits. We get to carry the baton of faith for a time in our generation, but then we have to give it up. That's the way it's been in the life of the church for 2,000 years. Passing the baton of faith, receiving it and giving it away. Who are the messengers? How can you become a messenger in this Advent season? The place, the wilderness, a weird place. You'd expect the presence of God to come in the corridors of power, where there's wealth, where kings rule. But the word of God doesn't come there. It comes to the strange man from the wilderness. The wilderness. And I think one of the Advent message of preparation is we need to pay attention to what's going on at the margins of our lives. Not so much what's right in front of us, but out there on the edges. Who are the people, the circumstances that bring us something that we hadn't expected before? Something of God's presence for our lives. And that requires that we pay attention. We pay attention to create space in our lives so that we can notice, you know, what's going on. This is a season when we tend to get overwhelmed because there's so much to do, so many places to go, so many gifts to buy. But in this Advent season, looking at John the Baptist, there is a word of God that comes from unexpected places, if we can just pay attention. So the person, the place, the practice. What John does is he calls people to repentance. The ancient word was metanoia. It means to turn around. And there's a heavy duty aspect to that. It requires the confession of sin and turning from ways that are unproductive or unhelpful to ways that are more loving and compassionate and helpful. And there is a sense of being accountable in that system. But I would maintain that metanoia is a process of one where we are continually turning, that life, out of paying attention to what's going on, requires that we turn and keep turning throughout our lives. And the metanoia turning process works like this, that we have this vision, when we catch that vision in moments when we see where we are in our lives in relationship to where we are meant to be. And when we see clearly where we are in relationship to where we're meant to be, and you see the disparity and the gulf between the two, you turn back toward it, to move in the direction of where you're meant to be. The problem for us is that those glimpses are fleeting. You make the turn, and then all of a sudden you get lost in the confusion and stuff. But then you have another moment where you turn again, because you see exactly where you're meant to be, and you want to move in that direction. A lifelong process. And it requires practice. It requires having a spiritual space in our lives when we can pay attention, listen for God, look for God, and examine the values that God wants for each one of us in relationship to where we are, where we are on the journey, what we're doing, what we're about. When we have those moments, those are great moments of blessing, because we can turn back to being the people that God intends each one of us to be. the person, the place, the practice. And participating in God's story, I think Advent is a very challenging time for each one of us because it calls us to look at our lives at Christmas time as we move toward Christmas in a deeply spiritual way that creates space to let the story touch us. And we do this in a time when the culture is screaming at us to buy all kinds of things, to be super active, to do all kinds of things. Just listening to the Christmas music that is everywhere now, it keeps moving, it's hyping everything. And we live in all these different worlds. We can't get away from it. We're part of it, and it's part of our lives. But to create a space, apart from that, or in the middle of that, when we can pay attention to the things that really are important. And when you come on Sunday morning to hear words from John the Baptist, you can bet John the Baptist is never going to be celebrated by the culture at Christmas time. But to create a space where we can think about the people in our lives that are important, when we can begin to think about the margins, what word of grace might be coming from there, and to have those practices that center us, that help us to keep from being overwhelmed by all the things that are going on around us. That's very special and very important for each one of us, so that God's Spirit can help each one of us become a little more the person that God intends us to be. So here we are, the second Sunday of Advent. May your Advent journey be a blessing. And my special prayer that as you keep Advent, as you pay attention to the things that are important, that God will bring each one of us to a glorious Christmas. May it be so.